Everyone, meeting will come to order. We are now having a workshop session for the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Astoria. Have the roll call, please.
Commissioner Hill.
Here.
Commissioner Fickle.
Here.
Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
And Commissioner Roan.
Here. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, public comment. This is an opportunity to speak to the commission for 3 minutes regarding any topic in person. Those wishing to speak must fill out a public comment form. Those participating via Zoom may raise their hands during the public comment period. Is there any public comment? Okay, moving on to action items. We have a commercial lease agreement with minor detail. Turn that over to staff.
Commissioner Rome, so the lease agreement you have in front of you is the same lease agreement that we discussed at our last commission meeting. And as the commission may recall, the motion that night was to approve the lease with a caveat that we receive a letter from the FAA indicating that this would be a permitted use within the hangar space. So since that time, port staff has had communications with the FAA regarding this business. And as we probably could expect, it was kind of clear as mud in terms of their response. And so based on the back and forth that we had, it was clear that the FAA was not going to provide like an outright letter saying, yes, this is approved. What instead they did is just referred to areas of their code in what is an allowed use and what is not an allowed use. And so it was very clear that if, you know, this were strictly an auto detailing business that didn't have an aeronautical component, well, that's pretty clear that that would be not allowed because there's no aeronautical use for that space. What gets a little tougher is that a lot of the language in the code refers to a primary or substantial use, which is obviously open to some level of interpretation. And so what the FAA would likely do is after this lease had been executed and a business had been operating, especially if they receive like an outside complaint, then they would conduct an investigation and do their own due diligence to make a final determination, which right now does not help us a whole lot. I think based on the fact that the whole purpose of Miner coming out here is they have this small business now that's mobile, that's involved in detailing aircraft. The whole idea is to build up that business, and having a presence at the airport is obviously going to be a big piece of that. And I think too, based on their customer base and who they're serving out here, I think it's very reasonable to say that it does meet the criteria for an aeronautical use. And furthermore, I think throughout time that use is going to become increasingly great for what service they're providing. And the hope would be that in providing that service that we could increase traffic in and out of our airport because of the service we're providing. And so based on the fact that we're not going to get a definitive letter, we've brought this back tonight in hopes to just get a clear yes or no, so that we can work with Miner to either execute the lease or let them know that we're unable to do so at this time. Did you have anything to add to that, Matt?
No, I think we're good.
Well, what were we getting prior to this? What was the rental we were getting from Dr. Bales a month?
Well, with Doc Bales, is about $150 a month.
But Doc Bales owned the hangar, and it was a land lease.
Yeah.
Okay, and so we're getting $1,000 now, or what are we getting? Or
$2,300.
Right.
$2,300 is better than $150. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Greater.
And I was probably the guy with the bad idea that we get the letter from the FAA, so I apologize for that. I wasn't trying to create chaos. I just thought that he had demonstrated that he had aviation customers, and that's why he was locating his business there, and that his hope was to build that component, including the Coast Guard, which I thought was notable. With that, I guess we should have a motion and a second, and then we can discuss more, ask questions, and then vote if that's the commission's pleasure.
You want to discuss now? Do you have the motion?
Yeah, let's have the motion and a second. That's how you're supposed to do it. Nobody ever does, but we can get a motion to approve. I'll move we approve the lease between the Port of Astoria and Minor Detail LLC. There a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. I've spoken in favor of it, Commissioner Campbell.
I've talked to a lot of the guys that have airplanes, and I have one, but I'm not going to be a customer there because I just don't like just anybody messing around my airplane, you know, especially non-pilots that didn't know what the hell they're doing. And most of them feel the same way that I talk to you. So I'm not sure we're doing the right thing here.
Mr. Stevens, you have a comment on it? Or
I did make my comments previously. I was concerned about people driving on the airport, but I think John Minor answered that, saying that only his employees were going to be the drivers. And in fact, the primary employee had been to your ground school, I guess, or the ground school. Yeah, so kind of relieve my concerns. If we bring a business into the airport, that's a good thing. It might generate other businesses.
Matt, did I see you out there with them looking at the wall, maybe put a hole in there for cars to go through?
We're looking at that potentially to see if we could bring something in on that, either like the west or the south side. But that's, again, just a whole conversation at this point.
That's the strength of the building, the tables that brace it. I don't think you want to cut those.
Right. I think for myself, if it's my turn,
it's your turn.
I'm okay with the aspirational nature of this, that, hey, we want to get this business started. You know, the only thing that trips us up a little bit is that there is the cars part of it. You know, if there was just, if they were just coming in and saying, hey, we're going to open up an airplane detail business, there's no issue. So we have a question about the cars, but I'm okay with the aspirational nature of it, that do some marketing, try to get some people in here, doing some of the jets that come in. We're getting more and more business jets that come in, and they might be able to work out a deal with that. And I feel like I agree with the FAA. It has to be kind of a substantial part of the use of the hangar has to be a substantial part, but they don't come along and say what that means. But I guess we have 5 years to see if they can pull it off. And if at 5 years when the lease is renewed, if we don't feel like it's a substantially an aviation related enterprise, then we don't have to renew it. Am I correct on that?
One other thing I would add, and this came in an email we had received from the FAA, Mary Vargas, who works out of the Seattle Airport's district office. But this line in her email says that hangars located on airport property designated for aeronautical use on the FAA approved airport layout plan must be used for aeronautical purposes or be available for such use. That's another term that leaves things a little open-ended of available for such use, because obviously this hangar would be available for the detailing of aircraft that they talk about, even if it wasn't exclusive to that. So it's it's a little frustrating that we can't get a definitive clear answer until we execute the lease and such time. If they were to do some sort of investigation, well, then they would let us know for sure. It feels a little like filing your taxes, and the IRS won't tell you you did them wrong until after the fact. They'll surely come back and tell you if you did them wrong and through an audit. So anyway, I wish it was more definitive, but this is the sort of language that we're dealing with.
Yeah, and one of the things I can dovetail with that is, I mean, Electro is a really good example of that. You know, we have this big hangar on the airport, but there's no planes going in and out of it. And even when we're looking at the airport layout plan, when we had that one hangar approved for the south side, it had to be clear of Electro doors. So in case we needed to get an airplane in there, we could. So Electro is a really good example of, you know, it does, you know, have a manufacturing component, but there's no real aeronautical use going on.
General, the tugs are too heavy to fly.
So. Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, and you could say that. I mean, airport isn't, or Electro's is not dependent on being on the airport. In theory, that they could manufacture those anywhere.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate to have Electro, and I think every tenant that report has helps encourage more tenants, hopefully, to become part of that ecosystem. Commissioner Hill?
Well, I think I'm seeing a entrepreneurial businessman that's trying to increase his business. And from what I can tell, he has a good reputation. And he's an ex-Marine. That means something to me. So it's kind of the fault of the FFA to not make a statement a little more solid than they've done. So yeah, I'm not worried about that.
And they did tell us if it was only auto detailing, then it's simple. The answer is no, but that's not what we're talking about.
I'm in favor.
Are there any other questions or comments of staff? Staff? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
One notable no. Commissioner Campbell for no. Everyone else voted yes. Our next item is a skid steer purchase. We were briefed on last meeting. We will be purchasing some equipment with grant funds, the FEMA alternate funding. Staff, you want Joe Teddy or Matt McGrath, I assume?
Oh, get her started. And if you have any questions or Joe has anything he wants to add, he can feel free to do so. So we have, as far as RE220 on page 18 of your packet, the first thing we're looking at is a skid steer for primarily use at the airport. This also includes, it's called their land management package. It's really good hydraulics and also a drum mower or a drum mulcher that will be able to take care of a lot of the brush that we have out at the airport. We looked at a couple of different options on how we want to do the landscaping out there. We thought about, you know, getting a separate excavator out at the airport, but it doesn't really make sense. And we already have the mini excavator here that we could ship over there and use it if we needed. With the skid steer, it's going to have a bit smaller footprint. We're going to be able to get it into some tight spaces. And I think, you know, after talking with Joe, with the guys out at the airport and with, you know, a number of folks, it just really is going to make sense for us to go after the skid steer as opposed to like an excavator. So what we're looking for from the commission tonight is approval to purchase the skid steer and the land management a package and the drum mulcher, a high quality mulcher from Cat for $185,683.30.
Just out of curiosity, since you listed three choices, what led you to your decision making as far as what you chose?
Well, the Cat's definitely, as we know, it's not, they're not a cheap piece of equipment. They're reliable. Looking at specs, comparing the machines for the funding and they're a little bit bigger machine. They can handle, you know, larger size mulcher head. And with the window of opportunity that we have right now, we're just trying to grab what's available, you know, because we are under a thin line. So,
yeah, the other side of that is that it's hard to get these units from CAT with all the fires and things that have gone on in California. They're snapping them up left and right. So this is one of those pieces of equipment where we wanted to get the best thing that was going to be the heaviest duty, so it would be lasting for, you know, decades to come. So this is the piece of equipment.
What it's worth, I asked our farm mechanic what he thought in generic terms about these things, the options, and he spoke. Ultimately, it comes down to who services your equipment and that support network. And he spoke. He had more good things to say about the CAT people than other choices, which is becoming increasingly challenged to get things serviced. So if you have a piece of equipment, that's almost answers your question. Who will service it when you need it? So,
well, that machine will have a new machine warranty.
Yes. Yeah, it will.
That's significant.
Is there a motion for the approval?
Okay, I'll move to approve the RFP 0220 to purchase a skid steer loader through the FEMA alternate funding sources project from Peterson CAT for $185,683.30.
There a second?
Second.
Are there additional questions or comments?
Well, I have a different view of it. If any of you guys ever run a skid steer, you ever run one? How much do you ever clear in the ditches and stuff? We've had them out there and end up digging them out of the ditch every time you turn around.
Yeah, that can happen with any equipment.
Yeah. I'm kind of in favor of the backhoe. There's multiple choices that you can use it for. You can clean ditches, you can dig out some of the blackberry bushes, and you can also dig out the trees that's growing in the ditches, stuff like that. You can't do that in that skitcher. Those things need to be taken out and chipped and get them off of the site. Mulching that stuff is just gonna, a good example, they mulch over there behind the garbage company. And that's grown up again already.
Well, things will always grow back.
You just seed it again.
You don't mow it or spray it, it'll grow back with a vengeance. Yeah, whatever it is.
No doubt, you can get rid of it.
It'll still grow, whatever it is.
You need to spray it and whack it. But that grew up before they had time to spray it. And that's why I think we need a backhoe out there with the brush drivers and everything on it. And
I assume the predominant role is to maintain the landscape as far as and seeing what the local excavation companies are doing. A track skid steer is a very, very efficient way of doing it, especially on soft ground like you might encounter at the airport. But
well, we're also taking into consideration using this machine on multiple properties around the world. Mm-hmm.
So, but as a track vehicle, it has a light, it doesn't weigh a lot, so it's less likely to sink.
Better footprint than rubber tires.
So I look at it in that capacity as being the most efficient way, most efficient tool for covering the most ground. And whatever ground you have has to be maintained and mown.
How much money we got left?
Well, once we get through what we're looking at, we're up to $741,556, but that includes about 9 pieces of equipment that you haven't seen yet.
What are they?
Well, we have numerous ones. There's some forklifts. We've got a telehandler, obviously, that's coming up. Scissor lift, utility truck, those types of things. So those will be coming.
We can discuss those when we see those, but is there any more conversation about the specific equipment with the motion and the second to approve?
No doubt about it being a good piece of equipment, but I just think we could put the backhoe in there and do a hell of a lot more. You got about 600 acres to clear out there, and that's not going to do it.
Anyone else? Well, respectfully move to a vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes. The next item consideration is found on page 24. I'll turn that over to staff again, please.
As this is a piece of equipment that we'll be looking to put into the boatyard, be rented out in the boatyard with an operator, obviously. This is a telehandler, basically like a pettibone with a set of forks on it. So when we're needing to get up equipment and materials and things like that onto boats, this will be a huge benefit for us. Did some searching around, and if you look on page 25, you'll see the three different machines that we found. What we're looking at here is a 2016 JLG 1255 for $68,500. And that was the lowest of the three bids that we got. The used machine with 3,282 hours, so it's got a good bit of life left to it. So, what's that?
Which one is the JGB?
The JLG, yeah. So, that's the first one from Riverbend Equipment that you see on page 25 there for $68,500.
Is that a 12,000 pounder?
What is that?
One of them lost.
The 12,000 pound capacity, but
I believe it is a 12K capacity. Yeah.
Capacity. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
28. That got outriggers.
Yeah, it's the 12,000 pound machine.
Page is it?
Page 28.
You can picture it.
While we're asking questions.
Did you see it?
Guarantee that's a handy machine.
Brandon was doing the research on that.
Yeah.
What kind of engine does it have in it?
It does have a diesel engine. I'm at so probably John Deere or Lord.
Is the that was done with the boatyard staff were instrumental.
Yeah, and Brendan couldn't make it here tonight. He apologized.
Yeah.
If that's what the staff recommendation is, and that's the least expensive piece of equipment, I don't see there's too much to argue about. But
they got to deliver it for that price.
Yes,
correct.
A motion to approve that purchase.
We'll move.
Okay. Is there a motion and a second to purchase telehandler through the FEMA alternate funding projects? The particular item is the 2016 JLG 1255 Riverbend equipment. Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Thank you.
How much money do you say you had left in the kitty for this?
After tonight, there is, and I don't have the exact numbers, but it's roughly about $350,000. So you'll be seeing $350,000 more worth of equipment coming.
I would strongly suggest locate a backhoe for the airport, because that's the tool that's going to do that job if we ever get it done. And it's getting ahead of us.
How big a machine would that need to be, Jim?
There's a, you see the Hitachi setting up in the town? That would be perfect.
I haven't seen that.
Cat size of that, you know, it's about a 225, the old cat, you know, 225. Size.
What do we need to make to give aviators the ability to see the adjacent runways?
Well, that's, it's going to take a logger in there for one thing to cut some of those trees, but that's where a backhoe will come in handy, loading them out, throwing them in a chipper or whatever, and you've got to get that stuff out of here. Beaver feed, they love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's the runways out here, infant runways, you well know. You cannot see runway 32 an airplane's landing or taking off until you get to the intersection for the brush and the trees. And that is really unacceptable.
That should be done soon.
It should be done, yeah.
We'll get that telehandler out there and see what it can do with the brush.
We do. I seen a 4-point buck right there by the on the road. He's inside the fence. So I think we need another hunt out there. I guess a few deer managed to get in there. So
they can swim. Darn those deer.
Yeah.
I need a marine patrol boat. Moving on to commissioner comments, Commissioner Hill.
I wasn't able to attend the meeting out at the. I want to give kudos to everybody that was involved. Went well, my understanding. We may not forget, we may forgive, but we won't forget what Warrington put us through. And, but anyway, thank you guys for doing all you did.
Commissioner Fickle?
Oh, yeah. I did not hear how that went, so I'll have to check it out and see how, because I was gone as well.
Okay.
But that'll be my homework for later. It sure is great to see the big boat out here. Oh. Sure would like to see a few more of those, and look forward to some conversations that we can have maybe in the off season about how we can reach out to, or what, you know, what can we five do to help you guys set the environment to get more cruise ships coming back here. Commissioner's miss a big boat there.
Yeah. Commissioner Stevens.
Thank you. I attended the meeting, City of Warren Planning Commission. filled the room. A lot of fishermen. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for rustling everybody up. And their comments were terrific. Sort of stole the thunder from commissioners. But it was well done. I'll let the director fill everybody in on more details about it. Certainly, he was there. I did some research on the dredge disposal areas that I mentioned a meeting or two ago that Port of Portland requested the use of areas on the river within Clatsop County for dredge disposal, which reminded me of the riparian saying that it's better to live upriver with a shovel than it is to live downriver with a right. We're downriver from what they're doing, but I don't want to overly criticize it. I don't know the details. All I'm basing, I had a phone call with the county development director, and then I read the newspaper article. There is a concern that was voiced about diverting a river if they use those areas and changing the velocity of the river, and they said it could affect sediment. So that's what I mean about we're living downriver. Maybe, you know, staff will decide to send a representative to just kind of monitor this situation. What they're more concerned about is the these dump sites are on the Lewis and Clark Wildlife Refuge area. So, anyway, perhaps they will model it on computers and see what really would happen to the river and the sediment and the direction and velocity. Perhaps before their next meeting. That is all I have. Well,
thank you.
Is that near you? No, it's not near you at all.
It is actually right here.
Oh.
So I'm familiar with these sites.
Well, you can see it then.
Like, I've been out there in a boat. But,
Rice Island, the one you can see up here, is built on a, used to be a series of pile dikes there, and they literally dredged in full of sand, but it narrows the channel up and lets it do somewhat of a scouring situation, or scours the sand downhill. But
Port had a history of trying to sell some of that sand, didn't it? I don't know what point. Commissioner Campbell, anything else?
No, I think that's about all.
Okay, yeah, I was also, as many others did, attended the Warrenton Planning Commission, and it looked like a bad situation on Monday, and it took a whole lot of work from a lot of people. Staff, I know they put their lives on the line for this, and our attorney and the lots of others, Melanie Olson, Senator Betsy Johnson. It seemed like it was a non-event when you went, but it took everything, I believe, to get it to that point of making it a non-event. So I think it was an extraordinary accomplishment by our professional staff, and the comments that our executive director made, I felt, were exceedingly relevant, and kind of, despite the challenges, tried to set a tone of working together with your community partners. And so, whether we're wrong or right, we needed their permission. And I'm glad that the outcome was what it was. But I'll turn it over to the executive director for his comments.
Thank you, Commissioner. I guess following up on some of the comments that have already been made regarding the last Thursday's City of Warrenton Planning Commission meeting, obviously staff is pretty excited to get that approval, and especially given the fact that it was 7-0, it was unanimous. There was a lot that went into that. I think, as I was telling a couple of the commissioners, you know, we have so much going on here at the port. I think sometimes we have to be very careful about expending some of our political capital. But this was a situation that, you know, we were up against the clock and needed to get an approval so that we can get this thing moving forward. And so, as was pointed out, you know, former Senator Johnson was a huge help, as well as our current Senator Suzanne Weber also provided support. And she actually called in via Zoom as well to monitor how the meeting went. And then the support we got from some of our tenants, the fishing community, some of the organizations around the fishing community were very, very helpful. I think when we had sort of kicked off this whole Pier 2 project, I had made a comment that there's probably a reason this can has been kicked down the road for so long, because of just the enormous challenges. I, to be honest, didn't expect such a hurdle early on in getting through mitigation. But that being said, this won't be the last challenge we face when it comes to a project this large and full scale. We've seen it even a little bit with some of the emergency repairs we have going on. And in doing those repairs, trying to keep the pier operational and keep the processors in business and leave enough space for fishermen to offload. And so that's obviously a concern as we move forward into the, you know, hopefully next year into the construction phase of this project, is trying to work with those folks and knowing that there will be some disturbances. There just will. There's no way to pull off a project at this kind of a scale without there being some inconveniences, but we're hoping to work with those folks and make it as seamless as possible. So I'm super excited about that. We're currently in the process now with the DSL site of getting the easement done. So it's kind of a domino thing to where, although we had written communication from DSL indicating that they were going to be okay with this use, we couldn't really move forward with the easement on the property until we had the approval, because DSL was not going to grant an easement for a property that didn't have approved mitigation. And so we're moving forward on that, and then with our federal permits, with the hope of starting construction late next year. So thank you to everyone who showed up. The other person I should mention, just because I think she played a very large role, even though she didn't get up and speak at the meeting, she was in attendance, and that's Melanie Olson from Business Oregon. She was ended up being a very good liaison between the port and the city. And part of that is, it, you know, with her role at Business Oregon and helping to control some of the purse strings of monies that get deployed. Obviously, she has some influence on local agencies. And so she was very hopeful, I think, in getting us to a resolution on that and even getting DSL to sign off on the DSL site. Just a couple other quick things. We won't have a meeting before then. So we do have the Oregon Public Ports Association is hosting their summer conference the end of next week. So the 25th and 26th of September, I think maybe Commissioner Stevens had RSVP'd to that already. But they will be here that Thursday and Friday for the conference. I think they were here, was it 2 years ago? They were here as well. So any commissioner who's interested, we can get you a full itinerary with locations and times of the various meetings. 25 and 26. I think that's next Thursday, Friday.
25, 26.
And the last piece I just wanted to mention actually came from Stacy at our manager's meeting yesterday, but she's actually, I thought this was kind of a cool deal. She's working with some local art students on some artwork near the cruise ship terminal. So I thought that was kind of cool in the port, you know, partnering with local schools and students for a project like that. And so I will update the commission as I know more on that. I think that's all I had.
Quick questions. What did the actual time did it take in that meeting for what you just described? Was it
at the Planning Commission?
Yes.
Yeah, so most of the meeting was quite honestly just the testimony. Okay. We had a pretty full room. I think they had mentioned they even ran out of space on their comment card. And so when it was our portion of the agenda, we had kind of a pre-planned little presentation. So our attorney had made a presentation, and then I had made one. And then they had a few questions for us. And then after that, it was time for public comment. And we spent probably, I don't know, 30 to 45 minutes, I would say, going through the public comment. You know, those are limited to 3 minutes. So people were cycling through fairly quick, something along those lines. And then when it was time to deliberate, there really wasn't any deliberation amongst the Planning Commission. They kind of looked at each other and nobody had any opposition. And so they moved straight to a vote. And so they didn't say a whole lot at the meeting. But I think the meeting started at 6 and we were probably out of there around 7:30 or so, I think. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. Do you have a map of that new mitigation site?
Not on me, but I can get you one.
Yeah. It's part of the outer part of the skipping on, isn't it?
It's just directly north of the port's property. It's the east bank, right, you know, where the port's property is across.
Yeah, I know.
The Hampton Mill is just due north, directly north.
Okay.
It's like a sliver. It's like in the water, and then their staff report conceded that the upland, if you want to call it that, was wetland. So practically, I think for the Warrington's main concern was the loss of industrial maritime land. But I think it's a safe bet that land will never practically be used for marine industrial development. Also, yeah, considering that it's wetland, the upland. Commissioner Stevens.
I had one observation, and it's been voiced by our director too, but it's good to educate everybody here. It's the second time we've gone to a city in our area to a planning commission meeting. And it is, I'll use the word astounding, what these planners, people who have that role, don't know. We had a disassociation with some of the questions that they asked from the Planning Commission. They had such a small understanding of what we were about and what the project was and why were we coming to Warrington and asking for property. You know, that's, I don't know if they didn't know we owned property out there, or I don't know if they didn't realize how much the fishing community relies on Warrenton and how it's all intermingled here and we're all partners. It's just an observation I wanted to share with everybody. We had the same thing when we went to a planning commission meeting in Astoria. Well, good on those people for volunteering and, you know, becoming part of the planning commission. But boy, you can assume they don't do their homework and they don't try to understand their projects. They bring their background, whatever it is. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree also that what struck me is the amount of legwork that happened behind the scenes in order to make that moment possible. In the end, I thought it was a highly instructive presentation, learning to appreciate everything that you just said. But they didn't have that staff report on Friday. They didn't have it on Monday. And the staff report that was dropped on Monday was very different than what they finally were presented with. But I know Deputy Director McGrath and behind the scenes Shane Jensen were put everything they had into that moment. So everybody worked really hard, and I think it paid off.
I agree.
So
another question. Did we have to pay the state for that land?
No.
It sure be nice to know how we lost that property and nobody knew.
Yeah.
How? Why?
Yeah, I mean, I've looked into that. We spent a lot of time on it. I don't have anything definitive to present to them. I know you brought this up. I guess I have no real basis for trying to plead our case on it.
Heather Reynolds still around town?
She's retired, but
I know, but she was the attorney that did it. She was the court's attorney at that time. And I can't figure out why they turned it back.
Well, it's all good news today, so we're not going
to... That land was given to the port by the county for the aluminum plant. It was ultimately going to be located where it should live. Costco and all the business from here. Now that failed, and we still had title to it, as far as I know. And all of a sudden, the interim, the previous manager was in there. Somebody stumped their toe or something and ended up giving it away or something. I can't figure out what happened.
They wanted to build a golf course.
No, that wasn't it, I don't think.
Well, I know when Judy was here, she spent Judy Fattori. She spent a lot of time. And I know she was down at the looking through county records. I mean, she dug deep and couldn't find, because this was the time period you're talking about is like early 70s, right? Like the early 1970s. And she,
it was in early 70s.
Yeah. And she
late 60s.
Just couldn't find anything.
I don't know it was after I got off, but I don't know.
For once, the state was great to work with. So I think that's really
it's
encouraging. I'm hoping that based on the way the port handled itself, that all these different entities will work more enthusiastically with the port in the future. I think it's been nothing but professional and productive. The upcoming meeting dates, the regular session is October 7th, 4 p.m. The workshop session followed October 21st. The meeting's adjourned.